Welcome to the Muscle Expert Podcast with Ben Pakulski, one of the world's top professional bodybuilders, an expert on human performance and mindset mastery. Ben dives deep to deliver the strategies of the top experts to upgrade your body, mind, muscle, strength, performance, biochemistry, and how to become the upgraded modern man. Join us on BenPakulski.com to learn the cutting-edge techniques to take control of your body, your brain, and create your greatest life.
Hey guys, I interrupt this podcast to bring you a special announcement from me and the MI40 Nation. So for the last year, I've been working on something that's going to change the fitness industry. So everyone that's listening to this podcast exercises, everybody works out. But typically we learn from the people on YouTube, the people who we most admire and most want to be like. And that's a massive mistake that's limiting your progress, limiting your ability to build muscle. What you need to do is you need to learn how to train for your body type. And I've just released something called Hypertrophy Execution Mastery. So basically, I'm going to give you everything I've learned over the last 20 years to optimize execution for your body and some simple concepts that you can take away and apply to every single exercise you do to not only make it fit your body, but make it maximally effective for your body. Because we don't want to just be training. We want to be getting the most out of our training. I attach to getting the most out of the least. I don't want to be in the gym for 2 hours anymore. I want to be in there for 40 minutes. I want to crush it. I want to go home with the maximum amount of results and maximum amount of response and an S on my chest, knowing that I got the job done that I set out to achieve. So if you guys want to check this out, it's going to revolutionize the way you work out. Hypertrophymastery.com. You're going to absolutely love it, and I appreciate your support. Enjoy the rest of the podcast.
Man, so the hardest thing that I'm going through, and I want you guys to talk about this, both of you guys, is changing your paradigm around food. Because, you know, for a long time, you guys are both attached. I want to be big. I want to be strong. Yeah. I just want to consume. How did you manage dealing with, like, changing the paradigm from that, culture and focus of consumption to focus on?
I could talk for myself. For me, it was all education. Mm-hmm. So I thought that, like, if you didn't lift weights for one day, you're going to lose muscle. If you fast for one day, you're going to lose muscle. You know, if you don't eat, you're going to lose muscle. I learned all these things that, like, you know, you can actually go a pretty long time without eating food.
Right.
And I was in a mindset of a bodybuilder, but I never trained like a bodybuilder. I still had to eat every 2 hours for whatever reason, you know, because I wanted to keep my muscle. And I heard if you're hungry, you're burning muscle. So then you don't want to burn muscle. That would be a terrible thing.
We had it really burned into our head that you needed to eat every couple hours.
You need to eat every couple hours. You need to get protein every couple hours, all these things. And all these things were actually to my detriment. Like all the things that we learned about bodybuilding, eating 6 times a day, like every single thing that we learned about bodybuilding is actually not true in the world of, like, ketogenic dieting and stuff.
It's not true anywhere. It's just bullshit.
And it's, like, just made up. And you start realizing, like, a lot of these things are just made up. We don't need to eat 6 times a day. We don't need to do all these things. Some of them may be optimal for bodybuilding.
Right.
But we don't need to do all those things. And by subtracting some of those things, for me, it was all subtraction. Like, what I kept taking things away. I kept peeling things away until we got all the way to the point of, like I said, now we're doing a carnivore diet, which is just basically an all meat diet, right? And so that peels away everything and leaves you with a lot less chances of making errors and also a lot better chance of getting the proper nutrients in, right? Because we know that red meat has so many nutrients in it when you compare it to other foods.
Sure, but it's very specific nutrients. You're not going to get an array of nutrients.
When we specifically take out other foods and we're left with just red meat, things like intermittent fasting become really important because we don't have, you know, red meat in our pocket 24/7.
Sure.
Even though, you know, I do, you know, even though I, this is where I work and everything, and I can kind of create whatever I want here, I don't have food here. I have it at home. And when I go home, or even when I start my day with breakfast, I can have a nice meal for breakfast. I can be here for however many hours, and I can be adapted to whatever it is we're going to do. If we're going to train, if we're going to podcast, if we're going to be live on Facebook, whatever we're going to do, I could stop and go to lunch like we did today. I was going to fast for most of today. And it was like, okay, let's stop and go to lunch. So boom, we stopped and went to lunch. I can adapt to whatever it is I need to adapt to without having any losses. And I can mentally feel strong and clear. I know that I'm going to eat meat at some point. So starving it off for a while is hard and it's difficult. But the more that you do that, the more often that you do that, you're building these habits start to get ingrained into your system, and they ultimately become part of your character. You know, the question you got to ask yourself are your desires, are the things that are sexy and attractive to you, are they stronger than you are? That's what people really need to ask themselves. You need to check yourself. You know, you need to, are they, you know, is seeing that girl's ass more attractive to you than what you have at home with your wife?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, come on, man, get a hold of yourself, get a grip of yourself. Yes, that is attractive. We can all agree on it. We can all sweat it. We can all be like, holy shit, did you see so-and-so? And hopefully that's the end of it if you're with somebody else. And same thing with your food. It's no different with the food. You're gonna have to smell it. You're gonna have to see it. You're gonna have to be around it, and you're gonna have to figure out a way to abstain from it.
I thought I was never gonna be able to get out of like I was telling you at lunch before, being out of like being addicted to certain foods, but getting over an addiction to drugs, I think, and learning about sobriety allowed me to bring sobriety and the whole method of sobriety and the 12 steps mm-hmm. into eating. And so that's sort of what I did, and that was just a huge thing. I used like basically AA for my diet.
Right.
So it was like, if you, the first problem, you know, the first step of AA is admitting you have a problem. Well, I'm too fat. I'm addicted to food. That was my first step. You know, my second step was believing that I could overcome it. Like believing I'm stronger than the Sour Patch Kids that I want to eat at the movie, you know, and that was actually like, that's a huge deal. Conquering Diet Coke for me was like a huge deal. And I know it might sound stupid for some people, but it was a huge hurdle. You know, I drank Diet Coke with every single meal. And so to switch to water was like a giant step. And if you can just make that giant step, like to me, I'm so proud of that I don't drink Diet Coke anymore, really. It's like, it sounds you stupid, but I'm proud of it.
You can exercise your willpower. You can make your willpower stronger.
Absolutely.
And we all have our weaknesses. There's things that you're not doing. There's things that I'm not doing. There's things that he's not doing. You mentioned meditation to us. That's something that he and I are going to implement right away. Some of the tricks you showed us over here, you know, with lifting, we're going to implement some of these things right away. But your willpower can be trained on a daily basis. And for me, I don't really understand how to train it any other way than to come inside the gym and to work out. It can also be trained, though, through your willpower in your everyday life when it comes to nutrition, when it comes to relationships. And you can really start to build. I call it putting up points on the scoreboard. You can really start to put a lot of fucking points up on the scoreboard, and you can really, at the end of the day, have something to show for it. A lot of people have set all these goals, and they have these hopes and these dreams that are like underground. They're like dormant, and they never get a chance for those hopes and dreams to really be seen. They don't act on these things. It takes a long time to be able to be strong enough to have some of these things come to fruition.
What's the greatest struggle you're facing right now with your diet? Is there still any struggles, or do you think you've had a complete handle on it?
I feel like I have a lot of control. That was a word that you used a lot in the podcast today. I feel like I have a lot of control over the nutrition. I would say if there's anything that's difficult about it, trying to figure out my electrolyte balance, trying to figure out sometimes if I'm training really hard, I may cramp up. I can lose 7 or 8 pounds of water in a day, which...
How much water are you drinking?
I drink a lot. I don't measure it, but I feel like I'm drinking a good amount of water. I feel like I'm intaking quite a bit of salt, but it is a flaw of a ketogenic diet, and it can be a flaw of I'm not taking in carbohydrates. The carbohydrates can help hydrate your body. It can help get nutrients into your system. And so those are some things. There's some small tweaks where it's like, well, if I just had some spinach has potassium in it. It also has fiber in it. If I just had some potatoes or banana, or like if I just implemented a couple of these things, maybe even though that's not my ideal idea of the diet at the moment, maybe I should shift into some of those things. I have to be accepting of, you know, maybe some of these other ideas and concepts would be a good idea to shift into. And that's where I feel I'm at right now. I'm starting to implement eating an orange. I'm starting to implement some sweet potato. I'm starting to implement some of these things. And it's more like I'm having them when I want to, and also utilizing them almost as a supplement. on a training day, kind of like you were pointing out earlier, rather than like, oh my God, I need a sweet potato, or oh my God, I need carbs. It's not like I don't feel like I'm dying for it. I don't feel like I need it. I feel like, you know what, it'd be a really wise decision if I can stay ahead of my training and stay ahead of my recovery. And so therefore, I'm gonna have the sweet potato. I view the same thing with your sleep. I feel that in order to get ahead every single day, people need to get to bed earlier. I think people are like, oh yeah, I go to bed at 10. It's like, do you really?
Right.
You're going to bed at 10:30. You're on your phone from 10:30 to 11. You don't fall asleep until 11:30. And you're trying to wake up at 6 and you're trying to be productive and you're wondering why you're tired. For me, I start looking at that clock after dinner and I'm like, oh, 6:30, it's 7. I'm like, I better plan this shit out. I need to take a shower, or I need to go in the hot tub, or whatever the things are, whatever your ritual is at night. You need to get yourself to bed early enough so you can get ahead the next day.
I think it's interesting just like looking at you, because you're very successful, but you don't work like 20 hours a day. You know, like you're not like what Ben says, like killing yourself with stress really either. Like you are getting to bed at a reasonable hour. So I think it's really interesting.
My version of work is almost a little bit like your version of meditation in a way. It's not as clear and concise as meditation, because it's not as free from like absolutely nothing. There's a lot more noise going on. But in some way, it is my way to communicate with myself. And I refer to it as dicking around. And I think that the more time I have dicking around, the more time I have to myself, the more creative I can be with the business, and the more I can put into this place.
So now you guys have interviewed all these experts on ketogenic dieting. What do you think the limitations are with ketogenic dieting?
I think there's limitations with anything. I think you're going to get to a point all the time in a diet where your body just gets like used to it, and mm-hmm. then there's time to switch things up, right? So your body's always looking for homeostasis. It's always like looking to try to keep things at status quo, and with that, your body's always going to end up getting used to something, and you're going to have to like change it up at some point. So I think like a ketogenic diet, like for me, I was doing keto and it worked. It was working great, and I lost 20 pounds, and then it just stopped. So then I started this carnivore diet, and that's been working really good. But the weight loss has sort of just stopped, right? So if I want more weight loss, there might need to be some sort of switch to that, where it might just need to be stricter, or maybe it's calories. Like I'm not sure yet. I haven't come to the conclusion on what it is that stopped me from losing weight, but I'm trying to find out. And that's why we keep going with this film.
It's either calories, less calories in or more calories out, right? That seems to be the simplicity of it. I mean, there's other levels there, optimizing your cellular health. Maybe it's just manipulating that training a little bit, in which case, talking to what Mark said,
it could be the timing of the food. It could be a lot. It could be a lot of things, right?
Adding in a little bit of carbohydrate to fuel more performance in your workouts.
Because right now, also the diet is it's willy nilly. It's like whenever you're hungry, you eat. When you're not hungry, you don't eat. Mm. When you're if you're starving, eat a lot. If you're not hungry, So some days like I'll eat a pound of meat, and some days I'll eat 4 pounds of meat. It just sort of depends. So that's really hard to gauge where you're at. I would think like talking about limitations, like if you're trying to get ready for a bodybuilding show or something, like you really wouldn't want to do something where you can't control it so much, right? Like you're not.
I would say like more in general, like the limitation of a quote unquote ketogenic diet is trying to be on a ketogenic diet. I don't try to be in ketosis. I don't pee on sticks. There was a period of time when I did a bodybuilding style diet, which I actually enjoyed and actually worked really well. That's not my style to be meticulous in that way. I don't operate that way very well. I don't weigh anything. I don't pee on sticks or check my blood, or I don't do any of those things. And I actually, from being on a ketogenic diet on and off for the last 20 years, what I have discovered for myself is just that I don't think I need to be in ketosis. I actually think that being in ketosis for too long, I think, is to my detriment, and producing too many ketones maybe to my detriment. Trying to flood my body with too much fat seems to be to my detriment as well. Right. I just think it gets to a point where there's some diminished returns. And I think having a little bit of carbohydrates, maybe a little bit like... more like Mark Sisson was somebody that we talked to. He's got Keto Reset. I think Mark Sisson was probably, and also the metabolic diet by Mauro Di Pasquale. Mauro Di Pasquale pointed out that the longer that you're on a ketogenic style diet, the more carbohydrates you can implement, and the you know, over a period of time, you should be able to have 50, 100, 150 carbs in a given day and not have it, you know, make you fat.
Come around to actually something that looks very similar to what it sounds like you're eating. You know, like that's what it seems like we're going to come around to, right? So it seems like we're all kind of in agreement in a way that like, hey, keto
frozen
works really
bananas.
Good. Yeah, keto works really good for some people for a certain amount of time, right? And then you got to try something else. And like when you get to a certain point, like yourself, like Mark, you guys are already like really, you're really lean in great shape, right? So how much more ripped do you need to be or this or that to not eat the potato or not, you know, just enjoy it. Who cares? So it's like, I feel like I'm getting to a point, like I just got my body fat checked, like it was like 17% or something. So like I'm happy with that, but I'm not super happy with that. You know, I want to get my body fat down lower before I sort of switch anything up. I might have to switch it up before I get lower. We'll just see, you know.
Guys, we're at the Super Training Gym in Sacramento, California with Mark and Chris Bell talking about ketogenic diet. And these guys are traveling the world right now, interviewing the world's experts on intelligent nutrition strategies, ketogenic dieting, trying to find the best strategy to live your best life, your longest life, and have great sex and big muscles.
Yeah, just provide good information.
So thank you so much for joining us. If anyone's got questions, fire them into Facebook right now. Guys, what I want to know is your opinion, and I give you my opinion on ketogenic dieting and performance. So you've interviewed some extremely bright people on this stuff. So getting into what do you think about ketogenic dieting for people who are athletes?
Yeah, some of the people that we talk to, because that's their space, ketogenic dieting, they're like, oh yeah, it's totally possible to gain muscle on a ketogenic diet, or it's totally possible to have high performance. And I'm not going to argue that it's not possible.
So let's define a ketogenic diet from their perspective. Is it still a low protein, high fat? Because that's ultimately what it should be.
Yeah, moderate protein, high fat diet.
I think, you know, by definition, you're talking about being able to produce a certain amount of ketones, 0.5 millimolars or whatever the fuck it is, you know. But from my perspective, you know, in talking to some of these guys, I kind of think they're full of shit in some way because... like what's the purpose? Like, am I just going to defy you? Like, you're a professional bodybuilder. You've been around it. You've been around the top 50 or top 100 guys in the world for a decade. Am I just going to be like, no, Ben, I don't need carbs. I'm going to do it this way. Why? You know, what's the reason? Like, now if I have some sort of health condition where I do need to not eat carbohydrates, then maybe that does make some sense. But it doesn't make sense for you to completely defy what everybody else has already seen and everybody already knows. If you're trying to be a top sprinter in the world, you're trying to be a top powerlifter in the world, most of these guys are not on the platform holding up a gold medal on a ketogenic style diet.
Completely agree with you, man. I mean, ultimately, performance is fueled by carbohydrates, and you may not need a lot. You may not need a ton, but I think you need some. I think it's important. And the term we talked about is metabolic flexibility, right? And that's what I'm trying for. Is I'm trying to consume as much fat as I can and still have some carbohydrate, right? Like I feel good on fat, but at the same time, I still think I need carbohydrate to recover from workouts, to fuel some metabolic processes, to inhibit cortisol a little bit when I need to.
Even just to be social and even just for fun. Sometimes, right? I mean,
hey, we're a social being.
Just a little bit, just to have a beer with somebody or have some wine.
I think there's a couple different.
You should design keto beer.
Keto beer. There's a couple different schools of thought. Like I actually was on Lance Armstrong's podcast, and then after we were talking about ketosis for a long time, and he was really curious about it because he's like, you know, we've done a lot of studies about ketosis, and it seems like a lot of people are going towards that as far as like they want to look into it for research, and some of the top guys in endurance sports are utilizing it. But like Mark said, we haven't seen a massive amount. We haven't seen the majority of people using a ketogenic diet for sports performance. So why switch over to that until we've seen it be dominant for that? You know, we may see that in the coming years. We may find out that we've been doing it all wrong all along or whatever. But we haven't figured that out yet. And until we figure that out, I think it's like dangerous to jump ship.
Now, having said all these things, I do think it's important for a lot of people to embark on a ketogenic diet to at least try it for a period of time, because I think that most people are too fat, regardless of the sport.
And too sedentary.
And too,
that's where I would agree with him. I'd say like most average everyday people should know about it and should have it as a resource.
When it comes to athletics, you know, why not, you know, if you're a 205-pound MMA fighter, why not kind of size up the other 205-pound MMA fighters and think, well, what percentage body fat are they approximately? Am I 10%, you know, am I 10% off of where they're at? Well, maybe I should, in the off season, be on a ketogenic diet to reset my body so I can take on more carbohydrates with a leaner body that has a little bit more muscle, a little bit of a reset. And in MMA, typically what we see, it's detrimental to be, you know, quote unquote, too lean. Every once in a while, there'll be somebody that comes along that's, you know, 6, 5, 6, 7%.
It might be keto too, if you talk to someone
absolutely.
Like Rob Wolf.
Absolutely, it doesn't probably.
Rob Wolf says, when I do jujitsu hard, I feel like I need carbs those days.
It probably doesn't make a lot of sense.
I'm good without it.
Right.
You know, like you. And other days I'm good without it. Some days I need it.
And then you also, you know, kind of subjectively go, well, these people who say you can perform hard on these ketogenic diets, what is their definition of performing hard? Because you know
exactly.
They're not.
So and that's where the difference is, I think, between what I'm doing and what you guys are doing. Because, like, I'm not able to perform at like an elite level and power, like I'm all beat up and everything. So like for me, I'm just trying to be the old guy that's hanging on and still like looks pretty decent, right? So I'm not trying for performance. And if I was, I definitely wouldn't just be doing a ketogenic diet. I'd be looking into other things.
Yeah.
You know?
Brilliant.
Because I don't think I have what it takes for performance anymore.
So we had Travis asking about what are your opinions on sugar alcohols? And what do you do now for cheats? Do you have any keto cheats?
We both hate sugar alcohols, I think.
Yeah, sure.
Disaster pants.
Yeah, I think sugar alcohol, I mean, your stomach tells you the story. You know, have something that has sugar alcohol in it and, you know, yeah, you're going to have some gastrointestinal problems, right? You're going to be farting all day. I think that when it comes to websites like Ruled.me, which has a ton of really great information on some different snacks and some different things that you can have, I think those things are fantastic. It keeps you on the diet in the beginning. However, even those things can kind of roll you down the wrong way, can lead you down the wrong path. A cheat is a cheat. And as you continue on the diet, again, what I said earlier is you can build willpower and you can build really strong habits to the point where your worst day that you've ever had, your worst day of dieting, is still 100 times better than your average person. And that's what you're trying to build, because you're trying to get better every day and you're trying to leave your old self in the fucking rearview mirror. It's really rare to see somebody really ever make a real change. And that's why I'm so proud of him, because I don't think people, you know, you hear him say, you know, I was addicted to alcohol, you know, I almost died, or you hear him say these different things. And we hear people say it a lot, but I lived it with him. I was right there with him the whole time. And to see him make these changes, to go from that to not being able to take care of himself, we had to come in and help him. And now he's on his way and he's fucking doing awesome. And on top of that, he's getting in better shape all the time. He's taking selfies. You know what I mean? He's taking selfies. We're seeing like a cap.
Why I didn't take any pictures.
We're seeing a fucking capped shoulder going on. I mean, there's some really amazing changes. And all the people I've worked with over the years when it comes to powerlifting, it's really rare to see a real, and you know this, it's really rare to see a real change. Somebody leaves their old self, you know, in the fucking background.
I'm living it right now.
It's still hard because I tell him every day, like, this movie, like, is not complete or not done or will not be finished unless I get to the goal. Like, I need to show people that you can make a real change. Otherwise, like, people are going to watch this and be like, okay, so the fat guy in the beginning is a fat guy at the end. That's perfect. Like, great, great movie. You really taught us a lot, you know? So I think that you really do need to make that change, or at least make the effort and show that you didn't make that change. So maybe the diet is unsuccessful, right? So either way, you got to show something happens. And right. My goal is to be like, hey, I like this diet. It works for me. I want to show other people how to make positive changes in their life, because this film isn't going to be just about nutrition. I mean, we are treating an addiction. We're treating an addiction to carbohydrates, you know, like just like we're treating an addiction to anything else. Now, that addiction is different, and like people aren't knocking over liquor stores to get their gummy bears. However, there is a lot of damage.
Maybe because it's, you know, people always say, well, no, nobody's, you know, performing sexual favors to get sugar. Well, it's because it's readily available.
It's readily available, yeah.
If you made it hard to get, you put it on the black market, I guarantee they would be doing the same thing, if not more than they were for illicit drugs.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure. So maybe it's just the restriction of it. But like, I feel like we are treating this sort of addiction that needs to be looked at, you know, and in more of a terms that it is an addiction, and it is like a big problem that we just need to know about, we need to be aware of. It's just like the opioid addiction, right? We're not gonna just all of a sudden just stop it and shut it down. But if people are aware and they know, and you can teach your children, like, hey kids, these drugs are bad. These are for use in cancer patients and only people that really need them. And your kids get that drilled in their head, they're not gonna go towards those things, right? Hopefully, right? And that's all like we're trying to do too, is educate people about food. Don't go down this path. We went down this path, even the younger kids, like I was saying before, I'd like to inspire the young kid at 14 years old before he gets fat to
Absolutely,
say, hey, man, here's what maybe you should be looking
even
at.
Even before 14 years old, man, I've got an 11-year-old son and I see him now already aware of the food he's eating. And it has nothing to do with me trying to influence him. It's just to do with his friends. He's watching what his friends are eating. And he's so, man, the kid won't eat carbohydrates and it has nothing, like I force carbohydrates.
There's a great documentary for kids that my friend made, Kurt Engfer. He was actually an editor on Bigger, Stronger, Faster. Mm-hmm. Made a movie that nobody saw on Netflix called The Kids Menu. And it's about kids eating healthy. Mm-hmm. And it's really good.
Awesome.
Check it out. It's the same guy that made Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead, which is a great film too.
So guys, we're sitting here at Super Training Gym with Mark and Chris Bell talking about their new movie that's coming out sometime, I'm guessing this year or next year.
Probably next year.
Now, these guys are traveling the world right now, learning from the top experts in ketogenic dieting and finding the best way to implement a low-carb diet into their life. So they've tried everything from ketogenic to now into a carnivore diet. So we're discussing that and taking questions here live on Facebook. So if you want to know anything, drop it in the questions. And obviously give us a like, give us a share, because these guys are awesome. We're grateful to be here in this amazing gym in Sacramento, California. How long, questions that are pretty simple, but you guys can answer these. How long is a good time to stay in a strict ketogenic diet from what you have now known and what you experienced?
And what I advise people to do, something I wrote about in my book, The War on Carbs, is just to try to stay on it for as long as you can. Try to stay with it for as long as you can, because most of the time, something's going to happen. Life happens. Things pop up where you're going to a wedding or you're going here or there. Just allow it to happen naturally if there's some cheats in there. But again, we are trying to create better habits. We are trying to have control over what it is that we're doing. So I never really liked a planned cheat. And I also, there's some little tips and tricks in there that you can do. Like for him, he likes to, eat candy or eat this or that during a movie, you know, when he goes to the, but it's only when he goes to the movie theater. So try to rationalize stuff to yourself. Like I love having a pretzel when I watch a movie. If having a pretzel at a movie that I go to once a month is making me fat,
there's a bigger problem.
There's a lot of problems going on, right? If eating some candy, even if it's 1,000 calories worth of candy during a movie is a problem, then you have other issues going on. You're not moving around enough. There's a lot of other things going on. So, you know, just realize that you are going to pop off this diet at some point and just try to get on that train for as long as you can. The longest I've ever been in ketosis was for like 20 plus days. I stayed on a very, very low carb diet for an entire month. And I was registering the ketones for like 20 days.
When we lost carbs, I was like 45 days in. I'm like, I have not had a carbohydrate, like literally was going zero, like in the beginning.
Yeah.
I was like, I haven't had a carbohydrate in 45 days. And I'm like, you should be proud, right, of yourself. And he was like, what are you talking about? I cheated. I'm like, you did? He's like, oh, yeah, I did, like 20 days in, I cheated. And I'm like, oh, shit, I never cheated. And for me, that was the first breakthrough. The first breakthrough was, like, by accident, because I didn't think I could do it, but I was just trying to go as long as him. So I thought he had me way beat, and then I had him beat, right? So to me, that was like, wow, I even stayed on longer than Mark,
so
which is rare.
Was there a point there where, you know, in the beginning you didn't feel awesome, or did you feel great away?
No, you feel terrible.
And then what point did you start feeling great?
I think you feel terrible in the beginning because your body's switching over from burning carbohydrates.
You're so used to having that constant flux of glucose.
And we call that like the keto flu. You start feeling sick and things like
that. I would also say that you shouldn't really be feeling that bad though, because you should be consuming a lot of calories and you should not be. I think the biggest mistake and the biggest reason why people feel sick when they get on a ketogenic diet. I think keto flu is something that happens to people that are really deep in ketosis, that have been doing it for weeks on end, and they have a really huge influx of ketones. I think everybody else is fucking lying, and I think they're full of shit, and I think they're just being pussies. I think when you go on any nutrition plan, you shouldn't be on a diet in the beginning. I think that unless you're experienced, unless you've been doing it for years, you should not be cutting calories. You should not be trying to eat a lot less food. Get used to the food first.
I think what you're saying makes all the difference in the world. Because when I first started last time, I felt terrible. When I started this time, I took that philosophy and I was like loading up. I just ate a ton of food in the beginning.
You're hungry? Stuff your face with some bacon.
I stuffed my face with bacon all day in the beginning.
Eat some cheese. Eat some eggs. Eat some things that are savory.
Trying to go for the, better quality stuff, whatever the best quality I could get my hands on, whatever. And I just ate a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think that was really important. I think, I don't know, if you sit somebody down with a lot of steak or something and say, hey, eat this, they're not gonna get through nearly as much as they think they are. No, nobody's as hungry as they think they are when they're eating the right foods.
Right. Yeah, people are just making comments about the keto flu. Do you take any protein?
Well, the other part of the keto flu is electrolytes.
Electrolytes.
So you need a lot of water. You need to add salt to your foods.
Not enough sodium.
A big thing we learned from Stan Efferding, working with Stan. Stan basically just came in here, listened to what our diet was, and told us we probably had to add a lot more salt in because of performance.
So true, yep.
And it actually, it really improved my performance overall. Like
I have salt like in the gym. It's in the gym and squats, I grab hold of it and I dump it in my water during training.
I started doing some of the stuff, like even just by, and I don't know if it's because of like supplementing with salt or whatever, but I just started to get back into the powerlifting movements. And because of this diet, and like one of the things that I know is because, it's not because of salt, but it's because of losing weight, is I'm actually able to get in better positions, get into better leverages, do deadlifts. Like I was talking to you about being able to do deadlifts and trap bar deadlifts now and stuff that I wasn't able to do for like a long time because I just weigh less and get to the bar better,
Yeah, when people, when they first start to diet too, they're just not eating enough food. And I think, something that I've done, and I think something that you've done is at night when you're hungry and you get those cravings, make something savory for yourself. Make a big omelet with bacon, cheese, eggs, things like that. You're not going to end up with keto flu if you're eating enough calories, in my opinion.
Not to plug a product, but he actually has a product called Keto Pro, which is a ketogenic protein shake, which is like the most awesome thing to drink when you're...
It's a fat and protein combination.
Yeah, it's a fat protein, but like if you want hot chocolate, I just mix that with one scoop of that with hot chocolate.
Right.
And so what I used to do was take, I would take like two scoops of protein and throw it in. Now I just use one scoop of protein because we're on a keto diet. We use a little bit less protein.
It feeds that sweet tooth that you have and just kills it.
So we're here at the Super Training Gym in Sacramento. Mark, show them this thing. So I got to try this today for the first time. If you guys haven't tried a slingshot.
This is my baby. This is what built the gym that we're sitting in and the nice cars and the fancy slinger mansion that I live in and everything else. This thing has been... a real blessing to me. So the slingshot, this is a supportive upper body device for bench press, push-ups, and dips. And I invented it out of necessity because I tore my tricep, I tore my pec, I tore shit in my shoulder a bunch of times. And, one of the times I tore my pec, I was training for a meet. I was kicking ass in squats, I was kicking ass in deadlifts, everything was feeling really good. And I was like, you know what? Fuck, I still want to, even though I slightly tore my pec, I still want to compete. I was just sitting in the gym one day by myself and I had a bench shirt on. A bench shirt is really, really supportive. They're expensive, they're hard to get on. And at the time, it was a huge part of powerlifting, geared powerlifting, where you'd wear squat suits and bench shirts and things like that. It allows you to lift more weight. They initially started out as things that were just supportive, but over a period of time, the companies, made them more and more restrictive. So in a bench shirt, when you go to take the weight down, if you had 225 pounds on or 300 pounds on, you wouldn't even be able to get the weight to touch your chest because the thing's so restrictive. So I'm in the gym one day, I just tore my pec and I have a bench shirt on, but I had one that was way too big for me. It was for one of our other athletes that weighed 500 pounds. And I was like, you know what? I think if I put this on, I think I can still train. I think I can still go do the meet. And I think I could at least, get a PR squat. When you're competing, you're you're not thinking straight, you know, you're a lunatic. And so I went to this, I trained and messed around with this bench shirt for a while, and I was able to bench with no pain. I was like, holy shit, this is great. Then I was just sitting in the gym by myself one day, and I was like, man, you know, this bench shirt thing's kind of cool, but it looks weird. It costs a lot of money. It hurts.
Like, it's three people to put it on.
It's painful to wear it. It's too restrictive. And I was like, I wonder, you know, all those older guys in the gym that would always come up to me and be like, hey, man, yeah, I love lifting the way you're lifting now. I'm inspired by it. That's really cool. I see you in here all the time. And I used to press 315 and 405. You'd run into all these old timers. And it just popped in my head one day. I was like, man, what if I could make something that's like this bench shirt that could help some of those guys that are always talking about how they tore this and they tore that and they can't do what they love doing anymore? And so I just started, you know, kind of tinkering around with a bunch of different ideas. Had the idea for a few years. I went to a few different companies. Those companies told me it was a bad idea over and over and over again, to the point where I was like, yeah, they're right. Probably is a pretty bad idea. These guys don't have any faith in it. And I started to lose some faith in it as well.
I remember your wife was even like, well, do people really want to bench press that bad?
Yeah. And, you know, for us, you know, growing up as kids, we always knew that lifting was going to be the answer. I don't know why. We were just so blinded by it that we were just like, this is going to be the fucking answer. We don't even understand why, but it will be at some point. Everybody will find out soon enough. Everybody will see. And yeah, I mean, the wifey, she wanted me to get like a regular job at one point. It just, sometimes the only person that's going to be able to figure shit out for yourself is yourself, yeah. You know, and that's, you know, I went to some different people and I went to some friends. I just kept kind of racking my brain. I'm like, why can't I figure this out? I know what I want to make. How do I make it? And ultimately, when I just looked at myself and said, you know what, you have to make it yourself. You got to figure out a way to make it yourself. That was a real turning point. But, you know, just when I was about to give up on myself, our brother passed away. And, you know, obviously that was, you know, a huge thing that happened to our family, dropped a huge bomb on our family. And, you know, still hard to recover from. I still think about him every day. It's brutal, you know.
Kind of came out of nowhere too. So
yeah, losing his sibling. I mean, he was always a loose cannon. We always knew shit was going to go down with him in some way.
In rehab, and he was sober.
Yeah,
he was 62 days sober when he died. So that was weird for us too, because we were just used to him always being.
And other people are going to be able to relate to this, that had somebody pass away or have had something tragic happen in their life. Went to bed one night and had a dream, and I was just kind of tossing and turning, and it was almost like he was there in the dream, and it literally seemed like he whispered in my ear and said, think. And I just, at that point in my life, it wasn't like I was a loser. I was willing to work hard, but I didn't have a lot of direction. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't have any money. I had no, you know, I was not on the radar as far as the federal government's concerned. I was not a tax-paying citizen. I didn't have any income to even, you know, register or anything like that. So it just, you know, that day made me kind of just wake up, and, it, you know, it wasn't like you cut to a Rocky montage of me sewing this thing together myself, but it did motivate the fuck out of me, and it made me kind of realize, you know what, life is short, man, and if you... You know, our brother's goal, you know, and he says it in the movie, he felt that he had something inside that he wants to share with the world. And I feel like that's why he and I are still here. That's why we're doing this movie. That's why I invented this thing. That's why I have this free fucking gym, is to get that message that was inside of him out. He was the one that got us into lifting in the first place.
He started this whole thing. Yeah.
He started this gangster shit, and we're gonna finish it with an exclamation point. And so it was, you know, just use the resources around you. Those of you at home right now, those of you watching some of this right now, there used to be, you know, 7 degrees of separation. I think nowadays with the internet, there's really like one or two. And I just kind of used all the resources that were in my corner.
You could pretty much
my
get
wife's it. Friend sewed the thing together for me. And I at that point, I knew what I want the product to be made out of. And I Googled on my phone. From Starbucks. I Googled it on my phone from Starbucks, knee wrap manufacturers, and I found one that could make this thing. And it's not complicated. It's very simple. The difference between somebody who's successful and somebody who's not is just a person that's successful just kept plugging away. They just had their head down and
they did it.
1 foot in front of the other.
So guys, where can you get it?
MarkBellSlingshot.com.
And where can they find out more about you guys? We did an awesome podcast today. Tell them about it.
Podcast was great. It's great having Ben here. I was giving Ben shit on his way out here. He was like, I can't get directly to Sacramento. And I was like, don't worry about it, dude. You and I are a lot alike. And when we meet in person, you're going to see we share a lot of the same thoughts.
Just get here.
And some of this, I've been with a big ass smile on my face, been watching a lot of stuff that he's been pumping out lately because you know, he's talking about mind muscle connection. He's retired, you know, and I'm retired from my sport as well. And so we're almost like in this reform period where we're out, like, you know, preaching the gospel to everybody and showing people the way that it is. But I do believe in a mind, body, spirit connection when you're going through this process of lifting and trying to make yourself feel better. So hopefully you guys are enjoying a lot of that. And it was just a ton of fun to have you here. It was great.
Boys, awesome. thank you very much, guys. And that's it for today, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget to check them out all over social media, and we'll be sharing this. Have a great day.
That's a wrap.
How's my front double bicep?